Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Hey, Ozer. Sounds like it's a charge day. Sure is.
Look-a-coo-coo, look-a-coo. Oh,
beauty, go.
Look-a-coo-coo, look-a-coo.
Good day, welcome to our single.
Could be worse, Charge. I am in the Big Easy and under the weather. What a terrible combination that is, isn't it?
Well, that's no fun.
You're lying.
Make a hot toddy.
That's bourbon, right? I mean, how, you can't go to the Super Bowl sick.
Well, I did. Not by intention at all, just shit happened.
I guess, you know. That you can't, you don't know how you get sick. You never do. But that's a terrible way to spend the Super Bowl. It's already a huge hassle. By the way, how are you down there? This is not like iHeart to pay for somebody to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, it's at courtesy of the Green Bay Packers, host of the upcoming NFL Draft, or as you may know it, as the league's annual selection meeting. That's the official name of the draft.
That's a terrible official name.
Look it up. That was what they originally called the draft. The league's annual selection meeting. It has grown into such a monster event that this is the biggest thing Green Bay will ever have. You guys had a Super Bowl in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Packers will never have a Super Bowl.
You will never have a Super Bowl.
Right. So this is the biggest thing they're going to have. So the NFL with the Green Bay Packers pays to have us down here to do shows and interview people and talk up the draft and everything else. And wow. Somebody called me out because I'm like, they're like, it's so funny to hear you shilling for, hey, there's places you can stay and you just got to find a hotel somewhere in the surrounding area. It's going to be great. We're going to be there. All this after you used to rip the draft saying what mouth-breathing buffoons would spend hours waiting for someone's name to be announced. And I say, okay, fair. You caught me on that one. But I think it's going to be a good event, and it'll be like a Packer game without the football game. It'll be a lot of tailgating, a lot of drinking, a lot of brats, you name it.
Yeah, that sounds fair. I got a couple of favorite stories along those lines, I guess. But we have plenty of time to talk draft, right? We got 3 months to talk draft. You're in New Orleans. Have you ever been to New Orleans before? Because I've never been.
It's oh,
one of
charge.
The biggest cities I've never been to.
Oh yeah, I think you would dig it because you like music, and I think you like food, right?
Well, who doesn't like food?
Well,
I like food just fine, and I love. You don't know this about me. I love jazz. I love jazz, and New Orleans is the home of jazz.
It is the beating heart of jazz. It is. Yes. Yeah, you've got to come here for that alone. But yes, it's great for that. Now, as I recall, you don't like seafood.
I do not like fish, but I love seafood. I love
That's the weirdest thing.
Crab,
okay.
Lobster.
Yeah. Well, then you would love this. You would love the food down here. Somebody had a great tweet, which was Zion never stood a chance down here. Zion Williamson, who has struggled with his weight since coming into the NBA, there was a tweet from a media person down here this week, and it just said, Zion never had a chance. There's so much good food.
I want the beignet, and I've never had one.
That's another problem.
This is like a life-changing pastry.
Okay, that's another problem. I had not had one. Now, the last time and only time I'd been down here was the 2002 Super Bowl right after 9/11. And I don't recall, for whatever reason, having a beignet when I was down here at the time. So, as luck would have it, there is a Benny's Hot Beignets little stand right next to our DoubleTree Hotel where we're staying. And I popped in on my way back from Radio Row, and I got three hot, fresh beignets. And? Not even knowing exactly what they would entail. I'm just like, same. I'll give them a try. We'll see.
How do you know to order three?
That was the minimum order. I said one beignet to go. They say they come in three. And I said, don't mind if I do.
I'll find a use for the other two.
Right, exactly. So basically a beignet is a beanbag of fried dough that is smothered in powdered sugar.
Mm.
A square little beanbag of fried, delicious, airy, chewy, yummy, fattening, dough smothered in powdered sugar. And when I say smothered, the bag that my beignets came in had a snowstorm of 2 to 3 inches of powdered sugar in the bottom. I thought to myself, this is madness. And it's good madness. They were quite delicious. So we got a huge problem now. It's only Tuesday down here, and I just discovered Benny's Hot Beignets
right
next door.
Next door. So now, every morning, why wouldn't you? You're not going to get that back in Washington or back in Green Bay or Milwaukee.
Milwaukee,
so
right.
You need to do this. I don't know. Is there anything on the inside of the beignet? Can you get like a chocolate or a raspberry or whatever?
That I don't know. I'm not sure if they can customize it. My guess would be probably yes, that they make that these are the straight beignets.
Yes. But, yes. I would want, if I could get my three, I think I would want a plain. So I know what the baseline is and I would eat that first.
Right.
Then I think I want some kind of creamy chocolate on the inside.
Okay. And how about a chocolate chip beignet?
Yeah. Maybe. On the inside. I want to be creamy. You know, like the donuts that have the cream in the donut. I want that in my beignet, but I want it to be chocolate because it's chocolate, and who doesn't like chocolate? And then I think I might go strawberry, raspberry, jelly kind of filled.
I'm a little bit sad that you've never been to a Super Bowl.
I have been to a Super Bowl, just not one in New Orleans.
Oh, okay. Well, right. Yeah. That's okay. That makes sense. How many have you been to?
Well,
roughly
in a formal capacity, one. And we talked about the Atlanta situation last week. How to wear a hat.
Yeah,
let your grill in. Don't start up your grill in the house. That whole bit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there is one officially. You, of course, were there when the Super Bowl came to you in Minneapolis. Yes.
That's right.
It was a typical winter there. -4 as I stood outside a bar downtown waiting
awesome.
To get in. That was good times. So, yeah, it's quite the to-do, and we're here, courtesy of the Packers, and that's it. Otherwise, iHeart would not spend the money, and honestly, I would not recommend them spending the money, and I wouldn't recommend them sending the morning show, because nothing's really stirring on Radio Row until at least 7:30. The show's halfway over. It just doesn't make sense.
I'm with you on that, and you should be. The fact that you're going is they chose you to go is a tribute to your show.
They sent all of the shows on the station. In fact, they strong-armed my partner Brian Butch, who is busy calling basketball this time of year, to come, and it was going to knock him out of two different games that he was going to call, which would take money out of his pocket. And I leaned in to say, "Look, guys, don't make Butchie come for this. It's not worth it. He can do the show from home. He also calls basketball games. Let's be sensible." And so that prevailed. So I helped get him out of this assignment.
Okay. You're right. The part of the fun of Radio Row is all the celebrities that have got something they're shilling and they're walking around and they're stopping at, you know, booth because Marcus Mariota is pitching spam. And so, you know, you're like, you sit down and you talk about spam for a few minutes and you talk to Marcus Mariota. That part's fun. When in Minneapolis on Radio Row, and I don't know if you'll remember this or not, or if you were there for it. There was a fight that broke out, a physical brawl that broke out between competing stations on Radio Row in the same city.
In the mall where we were for a week, the Mall of America. The largest mall you've ever seen.
Largest in America.
In America,
So we had a fracas.
Who are the stations?
Don't remember anymore. It was 2018. I can't
ridiculous testosterone. See, that's the thing, is that you have to be mentally strong, because all of us are kings in our own little fiefdoms all around the country with our radio shows, and we're big shots. Yeah, I'm on, you know, it's Nico and the Monkey afternoons at 4 o'clock, you know, Moose and the Coach at noon, and, you know, we take calls, and we've got listeners, and they're like, we love your show, you're the best. So we walk around like our shit doesn't stink, and then we get down here, and there is literally a football field-size convention hall full of other usses doing the same shit.
That's right. Exactly.
Slinging the same takes. And so while you're also, you're like, Jesus, I'm just one of many morons doing this. I'm not special. Then you meet guys and you listen to them, you're like, that guy's way better than me. That's a better take than I have. What the fuck? So you get insecure if you're not mentally strong. But it's not a bad week. I'm going to try to get healthy and then, you know, lay off the beignets, but get some good gumbo and jambalaya and some seafood while I'm down here. Let's
now,
go.
Are you going to the game? So these are two totally different things.
No.
People assume that because they sent you for the week before that you're going to get in the game.
There, you can hear my sickness
right
there. But a lot
of the times that is not the case. You just go for the week leading up. Then you go home on Saturday and you watch the game from your couch.
I went to three games, okay? And they go as follows. 1997 Miami. And I actually walked on the field well after the game was over. Literally across the field down in Miami with my former assistant program director, Mark Jenskow, One-on-One Sports. And it was amazing. We actually went into the locker room well after everything was done, because that's where they still had interviews. They didn't have the podium set up like they do now. And he was able to get Steve Young's autograph on a mini helmet. Violation of all kinds of media ethics, but he was determined, right? And I just remember walking across the field, and I would just see it just kind of chewed up because the game had just been played, but it was just such a wide expanse. Like, when you're on the field as a civilian, it feels like Montana. It's so large, right? And these men fill it, these 22 men fill it from corner to corner in a blink of an eye. So that was 97. That was great. That
was
my first one.
Who was playing in the 97 Super Bowl?
That was the Niners and the Chargers.
Niners, Chargers. Yeah. So that was the ass kicking.
Exactly.
It was like two drives in. You're like, well, I know this is going
to
go.
Yeah. That was when Dion went to San Fran. And I remember sitting there watching the game. And I just looked at his side of the field. And he crippled every play to one side of the field because he was that good as a cover corner. Any options, any notions of going to his side were completely shut down. And Stan Humphries, let's be honest, was not that great a quarterback.
That's a fair point.
So the next actual game I went to was in Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
And it was great because the great Justin Timberlake played at halftime, a tribute to Prince, and it was a hell of a show. And your stadium is gorgeous. It is not like once you played in outdoors where the elements were a factor. It is a greenhouse. It's fake, it's ersatz, but it's fucking beautiful. It's a beautiful building. Kudos to the architects, and sorry for the birds that all died once they built it. But hopefully that's been rectified.
No, the birds are still dead.
Okay, the birds are still running into it.
Yeah. Exactly.
So the halftime was great. It was cold as fuck getting from the shuttle buses just into the building through security and everything else.
Yeah,
I got to
that.
See a great halftime show, but the end result, the net sucked because I saw the hated Eagles win a Super Bowl in my lifetime. And I said, holy shit, this can never be undone. This is the worst ever. I felt sick to my stomach knowing those people would celebrate forever. Of course, they built a statue for Nick Foles and for Doug Peterson. Peterson's gone. Foles is
they
a nothing.
Made it 2 years each.
Right, and they might win another one come Sunday. We'll see.
I think they will.
And then the last one I had a chance to go to was Atlanta, and I ailed at halftime because I wanted to say once upon a time, because it's not that good. it was the Patriots and the Rams, and I was like, oh, fuck this. You know, I don't care about this game. And I just want to get back to my hotel room because I got an early flight home tomorrow. So each time I went to the actual game, the experience got less and less. So I'm not going to this one, and I'm not going to miss it.
All right, so what would make it better would be having one of your teams in.
Oh, yeah.
Or your team in. I mean, obviously, that goes without saying. That would change the whole dynamic.
Yeah.
What would it take to get you to go to a Super Bowl if the Packers aren't playing?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing would compel me to go. Somebody with a ticket saying, here, just be my plus one, let's go. Paying for everything. Yes, that's what it would take.
Well, okay. But if you get in via your press credential, you're not paying for anything anyway.
Okay, I don't want to sit in the press area, Church. The press area is way up in the bleachers. You're not supposed to cheer. You can't paint your face. You can't call the refs cocksuckers from up there.
You're not aligned with either team in this scenario, so who cares?
Yeah, but I mean, I see what you're saying. Yeah, eh. It's overrated. The Super Bowl is a TV show. Let's not kid ourselves. It's a TV show.
The whole league is a TV show. What are you talking about?
It's a TV show about quarterbacks.
That's the entire basis of the NFL.
I know.
It's great on TV.
Right, so the best episode of the TV show is this game. Why would you want to go see it in person?
And there are people right now that are like, you
blasphemy.
Freaking elitist.
I know.
Right?
I know.
You know, these are, you know, the tickets sell for $5,000 each, and you're not going if given the opportunity.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Do you need me to explain it any further? Do you need pictures for me to explain it?
No, because your listeners know you, and they understand why Steve Zabin would not go to the Super Bowl even if given free press passes.
The greatest trick Satan ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. The greatest trick the NFL ever pulled was convincing people that going to this game was something fucking special.
That's a good point. What was the movie from? The Greatest Trick?
That's a quote from, I'm looking it up right now, 1995 movie The Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects.
Yeah, you remember that, huh?
Great. What
yeah,
a great
the greatest trick the
was.
Devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. The greatest trick the NFL has pulled is convincing people that this game is worth expending months and months of salary or mortgage to attend in person when it's just a fucking TV show and you're an unpaid extra. Now, I'm not calling Goodell Satan, but you can make your own inferences there. He's one of his foot soldiers, let's put it that way. Although I've got joyous news, Charge, for one and all, victory is finally ours. We have conquered racism, the pernicious, so evil and horrible thing that is hard to sometimes see without making sure you understand it in its forms. We've won. We have ended racism. I know this because the NFL will not have the words end racism in the end zones. Way to go, Roger Goodell and the NFL. We won.
I'm a little surprised it took this long, to be honest.
But you wanted to end racism, a very pernicious, difficult thing that's gone on for centuries and centuries in all countries. You wanted to do that in quicker time than this?
Quicker, if it's not too much trouble yet.
4 years. They didn't start this till 2020. End racism. Choose love. It takes all of us.
Well,
I send those phrases back and forth in my text chat mockingly to my guys.
Well, it felt like, you know, we all know why it started. This is aftermath of George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the things in the aftermath of George Floyd have dried up and gone away a while ago. The NFL hung tight on this for quite a while.
Is it because Trump is going to the game? He's going to be the first sitting president to go to the Super Bowl in a long time.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Should he be going?
Well, he once clapped the NFL over the Kaepernick thing.
From a security standpoint? I don't know.
From a security standpoint?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, I understand. Okay. It's very difficult to get into that stadium, and you're going to get wanded, and you got to go through the metal detectors and everything else. But is he safe in front of in a stadium filled with 70,000 people?
I would say he's safer there than anywhere else because there's so much security down here. Just walking around to get my beignets and the media. I mean, there are every kind of uniformed personnel and non-uniformed guys that have a badge on their, you know, belt. They've got just a t-shirt, they're ripped, they got tats up and down, they got big beards, and they look all serious, and you're like, is that just a normal guy? And then you see the badge on his waist, that he is a plainclothes something, something, something. I have seen, Charch, state police, local police, sheriffs, ATF, FBI, National Guard, Special Ops, what do you call them? Okay, slow down. I've seen everything. Seen every guy out there. Everything short of SEAL team members I've seen on the streets with crazy? A presence. A Customs Border Patrol people with badges and patches on their, you know, stuff. It's amazing. There's so much security around here. Trust me.
So that's one thing walking the streets of New Orleans. It's another thing in the confines and, I don't know, gun range of
who's going to get a gun inside the Superdome?
I don't know, but it just seems like
the hardest place to get somebody in there.
It seems like a bad idea.
There's so many people there. How are you going to pull out a gun and aim it at the president somewhere in a luxury suite from far away with all these eyes on you, plus the facial recognition? So when I walked into the media center, they said, here, you know, put your face right up to this little kiosk. Boom, instantly.
You're in the database now.
Yep. It called me up and it said, welcome, Steve Zabin. And it sent me right over to get my stuff.
So wait, you were already in the database. It just did the recognition.
Yes, because we were required to take a selfie in front of a plain background and no smiling.
I got you.
And send it to the NFL. And they already loaded
it
all in.
You'd already done that. So got you into the database, and now you can get through with facial recognition.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But we've ended racism, so that's good.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.
Well, that's the good news.
What is Myles Garrett worth? You tell me, Charge.
His next deal will be in the ballpark of, well, look, let me first look up his age before I give a snap answer to that, because I did not know that this was coming, but he is, and by the way,
I mean in a trade.
Oh, I thought you meant his next
deal.
I don't think
your Vikings are in the market.
No, we're not. Actually, that's one of the spots we're set at.
Right. I said two ones and a fluffer, like a third, fourth, fifth.
Too much. And now he's 29, why? Which is not, you know, he's not over the hill. You can still be an effective pass rusher into your low 30s. He may want a new deal. So you might have to extend.
Oh, he's going to want a new deal.
You got to factor that in as well.
Right.
I think it'll be a first.
Two
round
ones is too many?
Too much. It's
why?
Too much. Teams won't do it.
Well,
I believe for a 29-year-old.
I believe that the NFL has swung too far the other direction. You and I are old enough to remember when teams would throw ones around like they were nothing, right?
Right.
Like they were Mardi Gras beads. And then they wisened up. And they said, hold on a second, that's not a smart strategy. But now, teams treat ones as if they're surefire things. And I only need to go through the Packers' recent number ones to go, bust, still not developing, average player at best as a starter.
overhyped and say to yourself, well, Myles Garrett as a player is an instant impact, awesome player. You're using your first round pick, a late first, by the way, in the 20s to get him. So what's one more first that is a coin flip away from being a, not that good player?
By the way, Myles Garrett under contract through 26 with real money, but
he's got two years left, but there's no new money on the deal. They say they're going to have to fluff that up, and he's behind some of the other top pass rushers in terms of pay. So he'll have to get paid, but he's been more durable than I had thought in my mind. I know he missed some games earlier in his career, but you look at his last 7 years, or last 5 years, I want to say.
He's played virtually every game.
And look at the sack totals. 14, 14, 12, 16, 14, 12, 10. Fuck! And this is not even counting the times that he drew holding penalties, that he forced a QB to throw it quick because he beat his man. He is an absolute...
Led the NFL last year in tackles for loss.
And then Myles TFLs. Garrett. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, TFLs, number one in TFLs across the entire league. I think it'll cost maybe a one and change, but I don't think you get 2 ones. I don't think it'll cost you 2 ones. If you were the Packers, would you pay? You'd pay the one, right, to get him. Would you pay 2 ones?
I would easily pay 2 ones, and if you need a third to fluff it, then fine.
Wow, three ones? No way.
They're just draft picks. Our third round pick last year was a running back from USC who didn't play all year because he was hurt.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, who cares?
I'm hoping that he has a nice little career.
Why do you got him in a dynasty league?
I do. That's exactly what I hope. I drafted him in a dynasty league,
right,
and I got nothing from him all year. He sat in IR the whole year, and I need him to come back.
Yeah, I'm not into flipping 2 or 3 ones for a wide receiver that can be finicky. I remember when the Cowboys traded a couple ones for Joey Galloway, and they traded a couple of ones for the Williams guy from Detroit who was hot for a while, I believe.
You're right. That there was a Williams guy they traded for. Now, Joey Galloway was one of the only legit holdouts that went like deep into a season, is what I remember about Joey Galloway.
Okay.
He did a holdout 1 year, and which I think prompted the trade with went back when he was still with Seattle, and he sat out to like Thanksgiving, and then eventually he came back. Yeah.
And Galloway actually could argue had at least a bit of a career. At least had some stats in Dallas. Roy Williams. It was Roy Williams.
Roy Williams. Yes.
He was a complete zilch when it was all said and done. And the reason is wide receivers are, you know, they can't force. They can only do so much. They're at the end of the tail end of decisions on a football field. You have to block it. You know, you have to throw it. You have to catch it. A defensive end that's a game wrecker, that's different. He exerts influence on every single snap he's out there on the field. Wide receiver, not so much. You're running a third of the time anyway. So now the value of a wide receiver is diminished. That's where dumb GMs like Jerry really made the league wisen up to go, we're not just going to flip ones away here. I also don't believe in depleting your draft entirely where you don't have, let's say, very many picks. As long as you have a good 7, 8, 9 picks, more than your allotted 7, you're doing pretty good. Once you get into a draft where you've got less than 5, now you're in trouble. Some teams would get into that mode, and they would be really screwed. How many? You don't have too many picks up there in Minnesota this year, do you?
We got 4.
That's it, yeah.
We got 4 picks.
That's
we got
not
a first,
good.
We got a compensatory third, and then I think we got like a 5th and a 7th or something. That's it. It's not good here. We're going to trade out of the first round, and here's why this is important to me, Zabe. Every year I do the Vikings draft party at USC Stadium. Right? And, you know, the draft party's built around your first round pick. It's the Thursday night. It's the first round. We're picking 25, I believe, maybe 24. And so it's already going to be like 10:30, 11 o'clock before that pick gets rolling around. And then what are we going to do? We're going to trade out of the first round because we need picks.
Yeah.
And it's going to be me and several thousand people. And we're going to be like, well, no picks.
Well, here's one of the angles that's already been talked about is, let's say the Packers had a chance to land Myles Garrett for a first and something, or maybe a first and whatever, and they didn't want to give up this year's first because the league's TV show is in their backyard. I said, that better be the biggest, stupidest non-starter of an issue I've ever heard. if they're concerned for two hot fucking seconds about the TV show in regards to should we trade for Myles Garrett,
right,
then fire everybody.
That's a terrible reason.
Plus, somebody said you could just have Myles Garrett come out and announce the pick, and that would be done. You know? Here.
That would work.
Here's the guy that your first-round pick just delivered. So,
one last thing before we get away from Joey Galloway. Two things. Do you know how many years he was in the league? You want to guess? You won't know, but do you want to guess how many years? 16 years.
Jesus.
Last team he played for?
I don't know.
Then Washington.
Oh, he was a
in 2010. He was in the league in 2010. Joey Galloway. 16-year career. Unbelievable. Yeah. I had no idea.
I think I remember asking Bruce Allen, our new GM, when he actually agreed to an interview on our station about Galloway, because they had signed Galloway and some other way washed up bubblegum card guy, right? I was like, how many catches do you expect out of Galloway this year? And he got snarky with me. He's like, what is this, a fantasy football show? And I'm like, okay, well, sorry, that was a legit question. How many catches, as you're looking at his Pro Football Reference page, how many catches did he have that year?
12.
So the answer was fucking 12. Yeah, but that was hyped up like a big deal. We got Joey Galloway. Well, no shit.
Joey
He's
Galloway.
Old.
Yeah, nobody
cares.
Else wanted him at that. He was on his third team in 3 years. You still, that was the Donovan McNabb year or years. Clinton Portis was on that team.
Yeah.
Chris Cooley, your good friend.
That's right. Next cut. My name is Luka. So I got to get your take on the Luka Doncic trade. But first, can we agree that the song My Name is Luka is one of the most depressing songs that ever was a hit song about child abuse? My name is Luka. I live on the second floor. You know?
Yeah, that's tough.
It's as depressing as being a Mavericks fan watching their GM trade away your superstar for a bag of beans. You in Minnesota have seen an upheaval with your basketball team that made the conference championship last year.
Yes, right. We traded away Karl Anthony Towns, and he's powering the Knicks now. And we've got a middling squad that can't get it all together for more than a couple of games at a time. That trade has already been basically, it's not too early to call it a bad trade. So, you know, you've got a unicorn player in Karl Anthony Towns, and in this case, Luka, you can't just like move him because you feel like the time is right or whatever. You've got to wait till you get requisite stuff. When you've got a unicorn who's special, like those players are, you can't go down with the ship. And the thing that I wanted to ask you about, and you and I texted on this earlier.
Yep.
New GM guy comes in. I don't remember his name, and I should. New GM guy comes in.
Nico Harrison. For the Mavericks.
And makes this deal. It feels weird. Like, you can't just like, okay, I'm going to put my stamp on the team. You know, it would be different if you're the Pistons, right? And it doesn't, you know, you make some wheels and deals out of a bad team. You were in the finals, and you're going to do this to your fan base. You're the new guy in town. You don't have any equity. You don't have any shared years of waiting to get to this moment to assemble this great team. And you show up and you tear it down to put your brand on it that fast. I think it's disrespectful to your brand.
Oh, I think this trade is going to change sports forever in certain ways.
Wow.
Because somebody had a great multi-panel of notes thread on Twitter about here's what's really going on. And he's a lifelong Mavericks fan and a Texas resident. He said, look, the new owners, this Adelson group, you know, they're big gambling people, Sands, right, in Vegas.
Yeah, right.
They want two things. They want a new arena, which is not needed because the American Airlines arena is not that old. It's lovely, I think, still. But they want a new arena because they want to develop the area around the arena, hotels, restaurants, et cetera. Because the NBA, to some, have said, has become a real estate business more than a bouncy ball league business. So they want a new arena paid for by as much tax dollars as possible. That's been a heavy lift. The Texas legislature has not moved on that. And they want to legalize gambling in Texas. Somehow, some way, of all the things that the yeehaw state of Texas allows – The fact that there are Puritans about gambling blows my mind. Right?
Yeah.
And so they want the ability for a new arena paid with somebody else's money to develop real estate stuff around it with a casino. And if they can't get that from the legislature, then they're going to threaten to move the team to Vegas. Now, you might think, oh, they would never let a team leave the number five market to go to Vegas. The league would step in, right? Well, the feeling is, and I don't know if you want to call it conspiracy or just connecting the dots, does the league love that Luka's in L.A.? Oh, you bet your sweet ass they do.
Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
So the league, when it's all said and done, even though it would require the approval vote of the majority of governors, the league is not going to stand in the way in 4 years if they don't get a new stadium there or new arena of moving to Vegas. That's their threat. And the legislature for Texas just closed their session, so they got to wait a whole nother year before trying to get what they want. And there's a belief that if they trash and tank the Mavericks by making a horrible deal, it will help accelerate a possible threat of a move to Vegas. So new arena plus gambling in Texas is plan A. Moving them to Vegas is plan B. And they don't give a fuck about how many games they win or how many Instagram followers they lose, which apparently they lost 700 million or 700,000 immediately on Instagram. Mavericks did.
Wow. Wow, seriously, that is fan revolt right there.
Right, and so that's the play, and it's almost like a terrorist with hostages killing one right in front of the cops. Like, you think I'm fucking around? Bam, Luka, gone. Okay, you serious now? You gonna give us an arena and push through gambling? Otherwise, we're taking the team to Vegas. And you could say, oh, that's empty threats. Talk to the people in Seattle that love their Sonics.
Right. Oh, or Vancouver.
Still don't have a team.
A team yet. And Seattle's got to be the, I don't know, 10th biggest market or something like that. Now, the league did, and this back in David Stern's day, they blocked the Wolves from moving to New Orleans. They had a deal in place. They were going to move to New Orleans. This was 10 years before New Orleans got a team. And deal was in place. I still remember seeing the headlines in the Picayune with we got them across the top.
No way.
Wolves are coming. Yep. It was that far down the road. And
how did you feel about it at the time?
Oh, horrified. Yeah. A huge Wolves fan. Hated it.
Right.
Twins were going to be contracted once, as you may recall, only about
along with 10, the Nationals
8 years ago. Nine. Yeah, they were going to get contracted.
Well, not the Nationals, the Montreal Expos. Twins, right. And the Expos would be sacrificed. Yeah.
Yep. That nearly happened to my team, too.
I mean, these sports, these leagues, they operate at a ruthless gangster level that is 30,000 feet above the air. And we peons down here as fans and media members, we want to believe, like, hey, these are sports where the team owners want to get the best players and try to win the most games and win a championship. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. Yeah, they kind of want to do that.
They'd like that outcome, but that's not the main driver.
Right, exactly. And Cuban was all about basketball. He was a basketball bro through and through. And he would have never allowed this trade to happen.
No chance.
But there's new owners.
No chance.
And as you know in sports, you can't escape bad ownership, can you?
Look at the other Dallas team. And look what they've done. Boy, tough time to be a Dallas fan right now. I mean, the Jerry Jones has... Nobody's getting near him. Right? You can't get any new coaches. You can't get talent around you. You can't get players who want to go there. Yeah. It's bad. And you know, by the way, we thought the Jonathan Mingo trade was bad for Dallas.
Oh, God. That looks like nothing in comparison.
That's right. That fourth round pick will be easy to forget.
And then one more for you. Apparently, Luka just closed on a $15 million crib in Dallas.
Wow.
Last week.
Oh,
I normally don't have any sympathy or feelings for these athletes making mountains of money. But on this I do, just because, like you, Charge, I've purchased and moved into and closed on three homes in my lifetime. And I understand it's a big mixture of hope and fear and logistics. So part of me does hurt for Luka that he just closed on a $15 million mansion that you know had Tile 77 logos all over the fucking place.
Probably. How do you resell that?
At a discount. That's how.
Right. I don't know who NASCAR driver 77 is, but that's what you're only buying.
It's a limited market. Right. All right. I'm bouncing out with Luka from Suzanne Vega, the most depressing song ever that became a hit. If you hear something late at night, some kind of trouble, some kind of fight, just don't ask what it was. Don't ask me what it was. Jesus.
One from the 70s about your dad and spending time with your dad. What was that song?
I don't know, but Vehicle by Ides of March basically makes fun of the predatory child snatching phobia of the 70s. You ever read the lyrics of that song?
No, what is that?
You never read that?
No.
Vehicle by Ides of March?
No, I don't even know what
okay.
that is.
Oh, you've heard it before. If you could hear the music coming down the line, I would then, play it for you. But here, let me...
Cats in the Cradle, by the way. Cats in the Cradle, Harry Chapin.
Oh, that's the song you're thinking about? Yeah.
You know.
That one is melancholy. I wouldn't say it's sad. It's about growing up. You know, growing up and losing touch.
Well, yeah, but first dad doesn't have time for the son, and then the son gets older, and then the dad wants to spend time with the son, but then now the son's too busy.
All right, charge. Here you go. Ready? Vehicle. Ides of March. Hey, well, I'm the friendly stranger in the black sedan. Won't you hop inside my car? I got pictures, got candy. I'm a lovable man. I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby. I can take you anywhere you want to go. I'm your vehicle, woman. By that, I'm sure you know.
Wow.
But the band said that it was a tongue-in-cheek commentary on how the hysteria of that back in the day had gotten out of control.
What?
It's a banger of a song, though. Check it out.
Is it?
It is.
It's funny how sometimes there are songs that you think that you're just jamming along to, and you think it's it's upbeat and happy, and then it turns out it's actually horrifying.
All right, Charge.
You've been dancing along to it this whole time.
Thank you for your time, as always, this week. Hopefully, one of these days, you and I will come down to New Orleans with some friends and enjoy some jazz and some good old gumbo or jambalaya.
And some bourbon.
Or beignets or bourbon.
And bourbon. I mean,
fuck yeah.
You can have that at the same time.
Let's go. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Yes, I think you've seen me before. If you hear something late at night, some kind of troublesome.
We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.